Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's been called the Obi-Wan Kenobi of small business.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Thanks for joining me on my 19th consecutive Thanksgiving Day show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Tamar Jacoby is here, too. Tamar is one of our favorite folks in the Brain Trust. She's been with us since, for 11 years. She's been hanging out with us. She is one of the world's experts on immigration, especially in the United States. And she is has written books on the topic. And she has been joining us now for a long time to talk about the topic. And by the way, Tamar is welcome back. By the way, Tamar, and happy Thanksgiving.
Great to be here. Thanks, same to you. Happy Thanksgiving.
And I know you're a little bit you're having a little bit of a challenge there, but she's assured me, ladies and gentlemen, that it doesn't hurt. But she might have to cough a little bit. But she's assured me that she's fine, except for a little cough every once in a while. So tomorrow,
well, I'll try to spare. It doesn't sound pretty, so I'll try to spare you and the audience.
Well, we're glad you're here.
If I can.
She's the editor of Reinventing the Melting Pot. She's the president of ImmigrationWorksUSA.org. Tamar, you know, when I think about immigration, you know, let's go back 400 plus years.
Yeah.
And let's think. You know, let's imagine the pilgrims landing in, you know, Christmas Eve, I guess it was, 1620. And when we think about that, you know, I can imagine that the Native Americans standing on the shore seeing the Mayflower coming up, and they're thinking, oh, no, not a bunch of immigrants.
Yeah, exactly.
They thought they were settlers and adventurers and merchants and people seeking religious freedom. And to the Native Americans, they were saying, a bunch of immigrants, how are we going to vet all these people?
Exactly. No, there's a funny New Yorker cartoon that has exactly that scene where you see the immigrants standing behind the bushes and watching the Mayflower pull in and just saying, oh, no, what are we going to do? You're exactly right.
So you know, it's over the years, over the centuries, Latter Day Americans, right? The not Native Americans, we've become a folks who we've occupied this country long enough that now that we feel like we're in possession of it, and we feel like we need to protect it, right?
Well, every generation feels that. So you know the Benjamin Franklin felt it about the Germans who were coming in his day. He wrote a famous paper where he talked about the Saxony and Boers whose complexion and religion and who knows what else were going to be trouble for America.
Right.
It was Anglo-Saxon country, and he didn't want these. Oh, Palatine Boers they were. Palatine Boers were the Germans he didn't like. So, and then in the 1850s, you know, there was a very, you know, kind of outright bigoted, know-nothing movement against the Catholic immigrants who were coming in, the Germans and the Irish.
And then,
you know, in around the Ellis Island wave, around the turn of the 20th century, there was huge outpouring of, you know, we don't like these people, we're scared of them. So every generation has this mix of, oh, we're a nation of immigrants, we love the people who came in the past, we honor the country, you know, our ancestors came from, but that's enough. You know, we don't want any more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a pattern of American history.
When did we start saying it's time to protect our borders? We have to protect our borders. Is that something that's happened since Mexico? Is that more of a latter day thing that we said we had to protect our borders?
So Mexicans have been coming to the U.S. to work mostly on farms, you know, for more than 100 years.
Right.
And the numbers weren't that big, and they worked mostly in the Southwest, and it didn't bother anybody much. They were sometimes legal, sometimes not legal. Nobody got too upset about it. But then our population started changing we started going to having fewer, smaller families, and more people started going to college. Mm-hmm. And so we needed more and more and more low-skilled Mexicans.
Well, and the government started paying Americans not to work. And so a lot of people who would have,
not,
a lot of people.
It's not a lot about that. It's not, it's really not that much
it
about
is,
that.
I disagree with you on that one. Go ahead.
Well, okay, so you know, what percentage is about that we can disagree about.
Right.
But the point is we started needing more and more immigrants to do some low-skilled jobs. I mean, the point is, I always say if there's one set of numbers you need to understand, in 1950, half of the Americans in the labor force were high school dropouts.
Mm-hmm.
Who were willing to do mm-hmm. unskilled work
right.
outside.
Clean rooms and flip burgers pick fruit.
Today it's less than 5% than 6%. It's less than 10%. It's about 6%.
Yeah.
So you know, sure, there's some people out of the labor force.
Let's pick up on that because there's an interesting thing in there. I'm going to get you to mention that again when we come back with these messages. Tamar Jacoby and I will be right back. Tweety Tail, happy Thanksgiving.
You marry a music man.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.